Hey, look here, fellas. You guys gonna have to order from the drive-thru menu.
Hi, how you doing? What can I get you?
A Big Mac and a large Coke.
Fries?
No.
What's your favorite place? Probably Wendy's.
You wanna do something fun? You wanna go to Taco Bell?
What about KFC?
Yeah. No. We've been there too many times.
Put it all up. I don't know. I didn't go on a Burger King.
You know where I was when my daughter was born?
Who?
Iraq.
Popeye's chicken is the shiznit!
I want 30 sliders, 5 french fries, and 4 large cherry cokes.
I want the same except make mine Diet Cokes.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's. What can I get for you?
And welcome back to another edition of the Side of Fries podcast, episode 4. I'm Chris along Caleb, and today's topic that we're going to discuss, 5 good and bad fast food marketing campaigns. I know our drop date for the pod has been delayed, and we had some technical difficulties when we tried to record technically and physically for one of the other members of the Side of Fries podcast. Caleb, do you care to share why we had these technical difficulties?
Well, to be fair, we were going to bump back the date to Monday because we listened to our listeners and they wanted something to come out on Monday rather than the weekend. So we were going to bump it back anyway. But, you know, this episode's coming out a day late because, well, first off, the microphones that we've been using, I charged mine, as you do. And I realized that while I was charging it, I had it on. And when I took it off the charger and it was sitting on my desk all day, it died. So as soon as we started to try to record yesterday, that died.
And he's a professional, folks.
Yeah.
Sort of. Not really. But what was the other reason why we couldn't record?
So I'm on a 40-day fast for church right now. And that consists of drinking a lot of water and juice, fruit smoothie kind of deals. And, you know, you get a little hungry here and there. And I was like, well, you know, I'm drinking all this liquid and it would kind of be like I was eating hot wings if I just started to drink a little hot sauce, some Frank's Red Hot Extra Hot.
Not just hot, extra hot.
Also, I have these little like cups that you'd put like ketchup in or something like that. And I filled one up and I was like, well, that was pretty good. And you know, cravings get going. And I had like 3 of them.
You're doing shots of hot sauce.
And I don't have much in my stomach. So it was just like, oops, see you later. It just wasn't comfortable.
I just have this image of like a cartoon where like they're flying in an airplane and the hatch opens and they just instantly fall out. Like, that's what the hot sauce did in your body, basically.
Yeah, and like every time I would like leave, I don't want to get too in detail, but every time I would go to leave, I'd be like, all right. I would just turn right back around and go where I was.
The sad part is you sent me a snap on Snapchat, and it was a picture of you sitting on your couch with a TV dinner tray, a napkin with a bottle of hot sauce, and a shot glass of hot sauce. And you're watching a guy eat buffalo wings on YouTube. That's how real it's gotten for you in your 40-day fast.
I got like 6-5 some days left, so I'm almost at the end of the tunnel. But
6-5, who's counting, right?
It's been rough, let me say that.
Well, hopefully next time when we're recording, you have like some pizza or something. I mean, something.
I mean, I have my whole Sunday planned out already, so.
I figured you would. Oh, God. We went on vacation once, and Caleb's vacation itinerary solely revolved around food and all the places we needed to go eat for our vacation that revolved around food. And, yeah, it was interesting.
Hey, it makes sense that we have a fast food podcast now, though,
it
right?
It totally makes sense because we love food and fast food at that. And that leads us to the next thing. Food news. So lots going on in the world of food news. So let's get it going.
Food news, your weekly serving of what's new in food.
Yeah, so first thing up in food news, Red Lobster and PepsiCo unveil the Dewgarita. Branded as the first official Mountain Dew cocktail, described to have a top secret recipe with the Dewgarita set to roll out in Red Lobster locations in September. with nationwide availability. So, you know, you go to Red Lobster, and what's the first thing that you want when you go there is a margarita, right? And
then
also and or a Mountain Dew. So, like, if you can't decide what you want, you can have both now.
Dude, I haven't been to Red Lobster since the Bush administration, all right? Why do I want to get a margarita to begin with? But like you said, now it's going to be a Dougarita. And what is this top secret recipe? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, margarita with a splash of Mountain Dew? Is that the top secret recipe?
I think the top secret recipe is they add lime to Mountain Dew and some salt and some alcohol, and that's it.
And they're actually, I was getting a little more in depth with this when I was, because I saw this actually, someone tweeted it out, and Red Lobster and PepsiCo plan to unveil more cocktails outside of Mountain Dew. So there's going to be other like PepsiCo themed cocktails at the Red Lobster corporations and restaurants. And apparently Red Lobster and PepsiCo are trying to convince other like food corporations like Doritos, like Frito-Lay, you know, for like Doritos and stuff to kind of partner up with Red Lobster as well. So I think they're kind of taking a Taco Bell approach here, it sounds like.
Well, I guess a little bit, but my take is like those restaurants, like your Red Lobsters, your Applebee's, your Chili's, your TGI Fridays. It's like, well, they're losing a lot of business, and the people that, you know, are our age and younger don't really like to go to those places. You know, we all enjoy a Cheddar Bay biscuit here and there, but I don't know if this is going to draw me to go there at all.
I mean, you can buy the Cheddar Bay biscuits at the store and pay a lot less than what you're going to pay for at Red Lobster. Here's the thing. Red Lobster is basically Denny's, but they sell seafood, all right? I mean, that's literally what Red Lobster is. I mean, it's just a step above Long John Silver.
I was going to say Red Lobster is sit-down, nicer Long John Silver's.
Yeah, that's...
With, like, a couple more menu items.
That's all it is. I mean, every time I've gone to Red Lobster, I leave hungry. There's never... Yeah. Like, the only thing that you can eat, and you have, like, you OD on butter, though, is the Ultimate Feast.
Right. Well, I mean, you know me, I'm not a big seafood guy, so I remember as a kid, my brother would always go and he would order, like, we would go during, was it Lobster Fest?
Yeah.
And I would be like, I'll have a hamburger, I'll have
Go to Mexican place and complain about the burgers being burnt. Yeah, no shit, dude, it's a Mexican restaurant.
I mean, I'll eat, like, fried fish and, like, you know, pretty much any seafood if it's fried, but, like, most of the other stuff I'm not too happy.
Yeah, my sister, you know, for her birthday, every time she would pick either Joe's Crab Shack, which is another just abomination of seafood, or Red Lobster, and I would just hate it every time. Like, December would roll around and be like, God damn it, I just know she's going to pick Red Lobster or Joe's Crab Shack, and then thankfully, Joe's Crab Shack closed in Cleveland, so then all we were doing was going to Red Lobster, which I don't know if that was, like... You know, if Joe's Crab Shack really did us a favor by closing, because then we got stuck going to Red Lobster. I don't like Red Lobster. That's how I'm trying to put it.
The thing about Joe's Crab Shack is they made their restaurants look like they were closed anyway, so whenever they did close, nobody really knew.
I mean, that's literally the truth. So,
want me to hit him with the next one?
Yeah, let's hit him with the next one. Let's not harp on Red Lobster anymore.
All right, so Buffalo Wild Wings back in food news again this week. Introducing new cauliflower wings, basically to try to appeal to some vegetarians. Cauliflower topped with some everything bagel, spice, pepper, garlic, salt, sesame, Fresno peppers, and scallions. They can be tossed in any of the sauces that the chain has to offer. And, you know, we have the calorie count here. Large cauliflower wings without the sauce or dry seasoning is 870 calories.
Yikes.
Small cauliflower wings without any sauce is 440. And... I think the small, what, that's like 8 or something?
Probably.
I get that it appeals to vegetarians, but it's not really, like, healthy.
No, not at all. And honestly, I gotta say, I've had cauliflower wings, and they're not that bad. I mean, they're really not. They're pretty good. But I think Buffalo Wild Wings is kind of missing the boat on this one, because this is, like, something that, once again, you know... Millennials don't really like going to fast food restaurants. They like to support, you know, their local chain. Well, they're not chains, but their local restaurants. And this is something that you would probably see at, like, a, you know, a hip and trendy, like, restaurant. And now Buffalo Wild Wings is just trying to, like, you know, cash in on that and try to appeal to the masses, which is the millennials now. It's kind of like when Applebee's tried to do like the dollar margs, and I think didn't they try to like push like mimosas, or maybe I'm dreaming, but they were like trying to do something like with brunch or something, or maybe that was like IHOP, one of those places. They were trying to do something like that too, where they were trying to appeal to, you know, the millennials, and it just, I don't know. I don't see this working. Personally, I don't really care for Buffalo Wild Wings all that much. Like, once in a while, it's not too bad, but you know what these cauliflower wings are going to consist of. They're going to be just saturated in grease, because they got to be breaded, and they're not going to be very good.
Yeah, I think this is a pass. I think, like you said, this is not going to be something that really appeals. I don't know how many people are like, well, I would go to Buffalo Wild Wings, but they don't have any vegetarian options. Like, I don't think people are going to Buffalo Wild Wings for that.
No.
It might pick some customers, but...
Honestly, this is nice, I guess, for me, because, like, my family, my, like, whole entire family, once a year, we'll meet at Buffalo Wild Wings. And we'll go and, you know, we'll just do it as, like, a tradition.
Family reunion.
Yeah, like, my cousins, my older cousins, they like to go there. I know, right? And my wife always goes, and she just eats the celery because that's all she can eat. So now she's got an option when she comes with us. So
there you go.
All right, what's next on the docket here?
So Annie Ann's teams up with Sam Adams Beer for a new Oktoberfest at-home kit. Each kit includes an Annie Ann's DIY pretzel kit to make fresh-baked pretzels in the comfort of your own kitchen. Comes with a six-pack of Samuel Adams Oktoberfest, four hats, four koozies, four lederhosen. Chris, I know that's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Two steins to drink it out of, a post-from-home playlist featuring authentic tunes that fans can stream on their favorite devices, curated Oktoberfest-inspired recipes, and more. This kit can be purchased at givethembeer.com for $89 beginning Monday, September 14th. So that would already have happened.
This is the worst hit ever. Dude, who put this together? It's like, they're like, I don't know, like, Sam Adams was just like, well, we could throw, obviously, a six-pack in, and what do we got in the prize bin over here? Oh, hats, koozies, lederhosen, steins? Hey,
so
get that intern who you know, who's kind of hip, and put together a playlist, too.
I was going to say, so, no secret that I do marketing for a living, and I can already tell you, like, what the process was like for this. They were literally like, well, what else, other stuff can we throw in to make it feel like they're getting value that's like super low cost? And they just kept like adding things,
yep,
and adding things to the point where like you get past what people really want, which is the Sam Adams and the pretzel, you know.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's like, yeah, you might have some fun with your kids putting it on and like taking pictures, but like it's all kind of unnecessary. The signs are probably cool. I don't know.
It's just throwing shit.
Who's going to put the lederhosen on?
Who wants four hats from Sam Adams and four koozies? I mean, dude, like, you know how many koozies I got in college that I never used? Like,
yeah, well, I know a lot of people that keep, like, a koozie drawer and they never get to the bottom of it because they just use the same ones over
exactly.
and over. But...
It's gonna just literally die in the koozie drawer.
Yeah.
That's all that...
I think $89, too, is just, like...
That's a little much.
I think if you can get it under 50, then, you know, $49, people are like, oh, cool, you know, I would have spent... 15, 20 bucks on beer. This is a little extra stuff involved. But $89 for, like, I would just make my own, like, really nice pretzels and get some Sam Adams.
I mean, that's really the only... You're only buying that kit because of those two items, really. You're not buying them for the koozies, right? I mean...
Right.
Yeah. I gotta wonder if they really sold too many of these. I mean, it just screams, you know... It just screams the four hats, four koozies. Just screams like they ran out of ideas right after they put the six pack and the pretzels together. Because that within itself isn't too bad of an idea. But then after that, they're just like, oh, what else can we throw in? Like you said,
I will say kudos to them though on doing it in September when Oktoberfest really is. Because like,
yeah,
Americans are always like, oh, Oktoberfest, and it's like, no, it already happened. Actually,
it's usually like the first like. Isn't it like first week of September, like or like second week? It's early in September. It's not even in October.
Right.
And last but not least on the list, what do we got here? Looks like another T-Bell.
Taco Bell, instead of cutting this week, is adding something to their menu.
Oh, man.
It's custom wine in Canada only for now. It's called their Jalapeno Noir. And it's said to pair well with a nice toasted cheesy chalupa. This combo is only available for a limited time in Canada. The wine, described as a collector's item, a.k.a. it tastes like crap,
yeah.
For its three different labels, will go for $25. Fans can buy the item on Taco Bell's website or in some Ontario locations.
They're serious. $25 for fast food wine. I can go to Trader Joe's and get decently priced Noir for half that. Maybe I'm just being, you know, hoity-toity here, but, like, no thanks.
Well, the whole it's a collector's item thing is why they jacked up the price, because you're right. Like, if you're buying a cheap bottle of wine, you're buying, like, 10, 15 bucks. And
yeah, I mean, I don't really buy expensive wine, but if I am going to buy expensive wine, it's certainly not going to be from Taco Bell. And I get $25 for a bottle of wine isn't obviously too expensive.
Right.
But if I'm going to drop 25 bucks, I'm not going to drop 25 bucks at Taco Bell on wine.
Yeah.
I might drop 25 bucks in the drive-thru, you know, after drinking a lot of wine, but, you know, that's a different story.
After you keep adding things because you're trying to, like, eat everything on the menu and you eat, like, four things.
I'm going to go to Taco Bell and I'm going to buy, like, four Mexican pizzas and I'm going to freeze them and just eat them each quarter throughout the year. And
sell them on eBay.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're more of a wine drinker than me too, but like the whole, like people trying to pair wine with like crappy fast food, like I know that that's a thing, but like I don't know.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I don't know how well it pairs, but I don't know. 25 bucks though. I mean, if it was like 12 bucks, sure, I probably would give it a whirl, but 25 bucks,
yeah. Not for me.
So there we have it. Is that the food news?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe one day there'll be some food news that we actually would like to purchase.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Out of all these...
You're going after the Dougarita?
Yeah. Out of all these, I guess I would maybe try the cauliflower wings at BW3.
Yeah. Me too, because it still probably tastes pretty good.
Yeah. Well, and plus you haven't ate in like... a year, so there's that.
Honestly, all of this probably... I mean, nothing really sweet sounds good right now, but anything savory I would definitely eat right now.
All right, so let's get down to it. We're here to talk about five good and bad fast food marketing campaigns. So I threw some promotions in here because promotions obviously is a part of marketing. So just full disclosure on that. But if we forget something, tweet at us. Let us know. You know, maybe we kind of had some, we just overlooked something. Because there's a lot of fast food marketing campaigns that went really well and that went really bad.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll start off with, we're going to go back and forth and we'll go good and bad. So I didn't really, I guess I ranked them a little bit, but I didn't rank them too, you know, like too hardcore. So, you know, we could dispute, you know, where the rankings stand as well, because I know Caleb, you probably got some feelings on some of the rankings, but
I
knew it. The first one is good. So at number five, it's Burger King. And Burger King in 2018, they sent their customers to McDonald's on purpose. This could come off as bad, but it actually ended up becoming good because there was a positive response. And the whole idea was what you would do is Burger King would send you to McDonald's. You didn't necessarily have to be inside McDonald's. You could be within the vicinity. I think it had to be like within like 600 feet and you had to download the app. So what you would do is BK would have you be near a McDonald's. You download the app and you didn't even have to go inside the McDonald's. You just had to say you were near a McDonald's and you downloaded it. And the promotion was you would get a free Whopper, but people were having problems with it. So like there was like one guy got charged like $1,000 for his Whopper, like, but the app wasn't working. And so it glitched. And so he got charged $1,000. Some people weren't able to redeem their Whoppers, but 50,000 people did redeem the promotion. So it ended up being somewhat of a success and it created a lot of buzz. So you're the marketing guy, Caleb. Good, bad, because in my opinion, when I read this, it sounds kind of stupid to send your customers to your rival.
You know what? I have a question after this too for you. But you know what it kind of feels like to me is I work in college athletics. It kind of feels like schools and teams that do the negative recruiting.
Mm.
Like instead of saying what you have and like harping on the program that you have and what you want people to, you know, come there and do and leave after and all that. It's like, well, This school actually isn't very good at this. So, like, yeah, it just sounds very, to me, it just sounds a little more, like, defensive. Like, oh, well, McDonald's isn't that good. You should go see. And I know it's supposed to come off as, like, being confident, but to me it just feels a little more, like, hateful, I guess. Not so much hateful in this manner, but it just feels a little bit odd. I know you have this as a good one, but...
Yeah, I mean, I was on the fence about putting it on as bad or good, but it had a positive outcome, I guess, so that's why I put it on as good. I do remember this, and I do remember thinking, like, what in the hell are they thinking? Like, this is stupid, but, I mean, it got people to do it, and it got people to I guess, fall victim to what they were trying to do.
So another question I have for you with this is, how many food apps do you have on your phone right now?
I don't have any food apps on my phone.
So that's my point is...
Now talk to my wife, and she'll tell you all the food apps are.
Well, everybody has an app, and it's like, okay, apps were cool, or okay, apps are still functional, and they still have their purpose. But like, apps were cool a few years back before responsive websites, and like before you could really function a website on a mobile app.
Yeah.
So now you can do that. If your website isn't mobile-friendly, like then you did it wrong. And an app is like, I guess it's something that stays on your phone so that people might accidentally see it sometimes, but for the most part, it's just doing the same thing that you can do on a mobile-friendly website anyway. So for me, like if I order online, like Chick-fil-A or something, if I order through the app, I'll go download the Chick-fil-A app, do what I needed to do, and then delete it. Same thing with Chipotle. I'll go get what I wanted, and then I'll delete it. I think the only one that I keep on is like Starbucks, because that's something that I might do more than once a week.
Well, isn't there like a point system on there too for Starbucks? Like
there is.
Yeah. So there's like an incentive. The other thing is like, why would you want to have BK or Chipotle on your phone, like app wise, if they're going to be on Uber Eats or Grubhub or, you know, Postmates or whatever, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't make sense to me to have those on there if you can also order those items on those apps as well. And that's kind of like what my wife does. She has, you know, she has since the pandemic has hit, you know, we try to support, you know, the local businesses and stuff like that. And, you know, we dabble in Chipotle and Taco Bell, but we try to just order it on the app and, you know, have someone deliver it for us. And honestly, it's also kind of convenient. You know, you could just go on there, order it, and someone, you know, drops it off for you and you don't even have to leave your house. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't make sense to really download those types of apps anymore. I mean, I used to have Chipotle on my phone, but I deleted it because I was ordering Chipotle too much. Same with Jimmy John's. So I had to let it.
So that's why they want you to get it.
Yeah. And that's why I deleted it. Cause I was like, man, dude, this is not only cutting into my bank account, but also my waistline.
I just don't know. Like I've ordered Taco Bell on the app, I think one, maybe two times. And it was because like, I think we've talked about it before where like, you know, the menu's always intimidating, so it's like, I'm going to make sure I get exactly what I want. And, like, that's why I did it. But, again, I deleted it right after. And, you know, the higher-ups at B that purchased the app for Burger King, like, they were like, hey, guys, we have this app. How are we going to get people to sign up?
Well, it's...
And, like, I can already hear the conversation that everyone's
we
like,
we spent a lot of money on this. We need people to sign up for the app. That's definitely what happened. And the other thing, too, like, with, I don't know, just, it's... I just feel like it's kind of antiquated. That's my whole gripe about it. All right, moving on to number five for the bad section. It's Burger King again, and I know everybody probably remembers these commercials. It's the Burger King commercials of 2000. So it's the guy, the man wearing an oversized plastic King mask, and he would randomly pop up in people's lives. So I remember there was a commercial of him like playing football for like the Lions, and he catches like a touchdown and. They were bizarre commercials, and he was really creepy.
I think that the biggest takeaway is that he was super creepy because, I mean, obviously, he like his mouth didn't move, and he just stood there with that grin on his face.
Yeah.
And I remember – so, I mean, you know, I worked at Burger King in high school, and the first thing I – if somebody in my school would be like, oh, you work at Burger King? Do you know the Burger King? And they'd be talking about this guy.
Oh, my God,
and
really?
They would ask me that every single time, and I got to the point where I was like, guys, stop. Like, no. And, I mean, I remember they had, like, figurines that they would – people could buy. And it, I don't know. I get it, – it felt like Burger King has kind of gone through different phases of marketing themselves. And
yeah.
This was one of the, like, for my me being alive, it was like one of the longer running campaigns that they had going, because it lasted quite a little bit for, you know, in the mid 2000s. But yeah, it was very creepy. It definitely set them apart, though.
I definitely think you're onto something when you always kind of hate on Burger King, I think, because it always comes off that way, at least. And I think you're definitely onto it, because they're kind of like the little brother to McDonald's. Because think about McDonald's marketing campaign, right? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. That, you know, like, that's iconic.
But yeah, it's always very, like, safe.
Yeah, and it's just, it's clean and crisp, and, like, you can remember it. Burger King doesn't have that.
Yeah, but you're right, and I think that's why they were like, let's just go in a completely different direction and not really talk about our food, but have this guy that people like the commercial, and, you know, it's kind of, it wasn't really viral at the time, because, like, that was the time of MySpace, but, you know, people talked about it, and then you would also be like, oh, yeah, let's go to Burger King.
The Burger King guy, too, or the Burger King, he always reminded me of the guy from V for Vendetta.
He does, yes. Yeah. It literally, like, the same, like, triangle goatee beard thing.
The smile, the eyes, everything just,
yep,
just weird and creepy looking. And the V for Vendetta mask isn't as creepy as the Burger King guy, because the Burger King guy, like, it's a guy.
Well, I will give them a little credit, because, like, right now I think Burger King's commercials are, like, they have Dame Drops, who's a food YouTuber that basically eats food and tries it in his car, that has kind of became a brand ambassador for them, where, I don't know, it's very, they've always done kind of, like, niche. Like, I don't know the target audience for the Burger King, but, like, now it's, like, they're going after the people who know who that is. And if they don't know who that is, then it's like, oh, it's just this guy that is eating food on the commercial, you know, like, they don't really know.
All right, over to number four, Subway. So I know everybody remembers this one. And this is another thing. This is the jingle that, you know, I guarantee you could say on the spot, and it's the $5 footlongs, right? Footlongs. $5 footlongs. It quickly became the company's most successful promotion ever, probably more successful than that guy Jared. Upon the initial promotion's completion, customers' response prompted Subway to create a permanent $5 footlong everyday value menu. So I remember that was like a big deal after the promotion ended, and yes. They offered some sort of like semblance of $5 footlongs for quite a while, and then they ended it. I want to say around 2016, and then they have brought it back. But now there's kind of a catch. You have to purchase two sandwiches for the price of $10. So it's a $10 two footer. I mean, it's not so necessarily a $5 footlong anymore. I mean,
let me put you in a place. Let's put you in my body back in 2006, 2007. I'm leaving high school. I'm going to college. I don't have a lot of money. I'm really hungry and I want a lot of food. $5 footlong was like perfect.
Heck yeah, and dude.
Another thing you know about me is that I'm cheap. So it was literally the perfect promotion for me. So much that I remember. I would eat at Subway. There was one in our student union at Akron, so like quite a bit, probably my freshman year. But after that, like, I would continue to go to Subway, and then
that was
the worst Subway ever. Remember they had the drive-in window, the drive-up window, and you'd get behind like one car, and you'd be like, nope, too many cars, because somebody would have to literally say, lettuce, pickles, salt and pepper, like everything that they wanted. It was not nice.
So full disclosure, me and Caleb both went to college at the University of Akron, and that's how we met. And that Subway was the only place that would be open late. I mean, like 4 a.m. Like, so everybody and their mom would go there after the bars closed. Yep. And then people would go through the drive-thru. Like, why did they not close the drive-thru? Because they knew the bar rush was going to come. Never made sense.
It did not. But I remember the first time I went to that Subway and I got a sub and it was like $5.95 or something like that. And I was like, wait, are $5 footlongs done? And they were like, yeah, there's only like a certain number of them now. And I was like, oh, and I like stopped going to Subway.
Well,
it wasn't $5.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I mean, I don't go to Subway anymore either. I mean, we'll have another.
Well,
this is a.
We probably have other reasons for that now. It's just not good.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is a topic for another day, but I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, the whole incentive of getting something cheap and you thinking that you're getting something plentiful is definitely enticing. and now it's gone. So now why would you want to go? And the problem is too, and I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but a lot of like franchisee owners of Subway were complaining on how they were losing basically a lot of money because of this promotion, because, you know, this promotion came out in what, the early 2000s, like 2005, 2006, and it's now another decade, and they're still running this promotion, and, you know, Subways are losing their behinds on this promotion, and there was like a big stink, and that's kind of why this promotion has kind of shifted in terms of how it used to be, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, you got to kind of adjust to the times, and as you know, well, like, the dollar menu doesn't really exist anymore either because of that.
Yeah, there's so many different food items that, like, I remember when I worked at Burger King, there was the 2 for $2.22 croissant witches for breakfast, and like, I don't know what it is now, but I'm sure it's $3-4. Like, it's not, it went up even when I was working there, I think, from 2.22. You know, you think, well, the $5 hot and ready at Little Caesars lives on. But there's plenty of like food things that you remember being a certain price that have now, I don't want to give away the next. Well, I guess we can segue to the next one, but like, $2 fish for $3.
Oh God. So yeah, bad. Number four, McDonald's Filet-O-Fish. And you remember this one, right?
Yeah. Please sing it.
Well, we're going to have the clip sing it.
Okay. I remember, like, I mean, everybody had one of those at some point, those, like, fish on the walls that, I forget, what were they called? Like, the
Billy Bass or something, wasn't
Billy
it?
Billy Bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would just, like, sing, and it was just one of those, and Give I remember, like, they brought it out for a couple years in a row during, like, Lent, right?
Yeah, it was huge, and then I think they brought the commercial back maybe last year or the year before, but in a different version, because how the commercial is laid out is a man is eating a fish sandwich in his garage. Weird place to eat a fish sandwich. And all of a sudden, his taxidermied fish starts singing that awful, give me back that filet of fish jingle. Which I don't understand why I guess I understand why he wants the fish back, but the fish is already dead, so it's kind of weird why you want it back.
Yeah, I don't think saying doesn't make any sense what's actually being said. It's just one of those like catchy things that McDonald's did. And this was along the lines of the weird BK guy. Like, it was just off the wall weird. But I mean, everybody during Lent is eating fish, you know, left and right. And it was just their way. Like, they had a huge competition anyway. Like, Burger King would have their 2 for $4 and that. But I mean, McDonald's is like the place that people would go to. I know people that, during Lent, like, I've never seen them eat any fast food, but they'll go to McDonald's for a fish.
Oh my God, yeah. My mom and dad would do that. My dad wasn't really religious, but my mom, she's Catholic, and it would be either going to Long John Silver, which we never ever went until it was Lent, or we would go to McDonald's and get filet of fish, which I hate fish sticks. I hate Long John Silver because of that, I think. And it's just not good.
So I love the McDonald's fish sandwich, like, still to this day. I love it. Like, I don't know why. Ugh. It's like the gelatinous cheese that's like not really cheese, and like the overly mayo-y tartar sauce. And the thing that you have to know though about like during Lent when these promotions are going is like, you're almost guaranteed these items to be fresh if you're going at lunch or like the dinner
rush.
That's
true.
So where normally, like when I was at Burger King, a fish sandwich, I would make one at the beginning of my shift at 4 o'clock, and like, you're supposed to throw them away, but that same fish sandwich would be there at 7 when I'd leave. So like, if somebody came in, they'd eat this like dry leathery, and that's why nobody likes a fish sandwich, because they know it's like never fresh, but during Lent it's fresh.
Yeah. Well, and that's like the biggest time they sell it. And I don't know, fun fact, if you knew that McDonald's actually used to have another option called the Hula Burger, but then they got rid of it in place of the filet of fish. Because a man, I think in like Illinois in like the 60s, he was a franchisee owner of McDonald's, and he decided to put the fish sandwich on the menu. And Ray Kroc like just went with the idea, and it was a big hit. And that's how the filet of fish started.
That's kind of surprising after I know you and I have watched The Founder quite a bit, and
by far one of the most underrated movies ever.
It is, and he was like, you know, one of the big reasons the original McDonald's didn't spread was because it was hard to have quality control, and people were selling fried chicken out of their McDonald's and not what was supposed to be on the menu. So kind of surprising that he like went with an item that somebody just put on there, you know?
Well, I think it was probably maybe pitched to him because, I mean, I don't know if you remember the one couple in the movie, and I know we're just talking about a movie and it's not entirely factual, but you remember they pitched the milkshake thing and he goes with it. Granted,
he
ends up taking that guy's wife and marrying her later, so that's probably why, but
he had ulterior motives there was really, he didn't care what the milkshake tasted like, he was going to do
it. I don't know, I've just never been a big fan of the Filet-O-Fish, and I always thought the jingle was just so annoying and bad, but obviously it's kind of catchy.
Yeah.
All right, number three on the good list. And I know a lot of people out there are probably going to agree with me. Caleb, I would think you're probably going to agree with me. I know my boy Adam is definitely going to agree with me on this one. Wendy's 4 for $4, hands down the best promotion, best thing there is right now. I mean, that is like the most – that is like the best bang for your buck. I mean, you get a sandwich. Your choice of a sandwich, but like – a junior bacon cheeseburger, a deluxe, a double stack, a crispy chicken sandwich, crispy chicken BLT, grilled chicken wrap. I mean, spicy chicken wrap. You have so many choices. And then you can get 4 count of chicken nuggets, a small fry, and a small beverage. I mean, what better deal can you get?
So I think the caveat that you said is that it's the best deal going now.
Yes. Yes.
My thing that I don't necessarily like about this promotion, it's very good. A lot of people love it.
Of course you have a gripe. Of course. Go ahead.
What if I don't want a fry or a drink? What if I want to get 4 nuggets? What if I want to get 4 crispy chicken sandwiches? Like, why can't you do that?
I see where you're going with this.
You know? Yeah. And we have an honorable mention that's a little bit different, that's kind of like that. And my friends that know me know that I love that other one. And this one's fine.
All right.
But it's not as a la carte, you know.
Confession time. Really quick story, and I know people probably won't believe it, but I swear to God it actually happened. So one day, I go to my local Wendy's after work. It was a Friday, so I'm feeling pretty good because, you know, Fridays, there's no bad – I always tell my wife there's no bad day – there's no bad Fridays. Fridays are always good days, right? So I go to Wendy's, get myself a 4 for $4. The lady goes – sir, would you like them spicy or regular? No one's ever asked me if I wanted them spicy. It's always regular. I didn't even know that was an option. I didn't even know you could get spicy chicken nuggets in the 4 for $4, right? And I go, I thought about it. Like, literally, there was a pause, and I just went, heck yeah, I ain't driving. Give me them nuggets. And she was like,
I'm not driving.
Sir, pull around. And, like, did not think it was funny whatsoever. I mean, I was, like, I thought it was kind of funny. I mean,
that's, like, one of those things where,
yeah, I'm like,
you say yes, and then you immediately get a text from the FBI.
then after I got my food, I was like, that didn't make sense. I am driving. So, yeah, I could see why that wasn't funny. But I was basically stealing it from Home Alone when the guy asks him, 2 scoops, sir? And he goes, 2? Make it 3. I ain't driving. That, you know, that sort of thing. Like, you know, like, oh, how dare you ask me that question? Yes, I want them spicy. I told my wife about it, and she makes fun of me to this day. So I haven't been back to the North Olmsted Wendy's since then.
you drive a lot for work, so you go to a lot of different versions of the same place.
Yeah, there's a lot of options that are the same in different areas. I could tell you where the best Wendy's are in Northeast Ohio. Don't go to the one in Mayfield.
Maybe on another episode.
Yeah.
You know what I saw the other day, though, speaking of spicy nugs, is that you can get like a party pack of nuggets from Wendy's for like $10.
No,
it's like,
kidding. You shouldn't have told me that.
Yeah, you can literally just get – it's like a little box.
Oh, my God. I mean, I've said it before on this show, and I'll say it again. Wendy's, hands down, is the best fast food burger joint there is. Now, I'm not talking about like Shake Shack. That's on a different level. You know, In-N-Out's on a different level, but like – we're talking like Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King level. It's Wendy's. Like, try to change my mind. You're not going to be able to.
I think I agree with you, except I think the only crux that a lot of people have is the fries aren't as good as some others.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they did change their fry recipe a few years back, and it really, they like added like what, the sea salt? That was like the big deal. It didn't really do much.
I think also this second rendition of the spicy chicken nuggets, like I mean, you know me, if I get something spicy is the version that I get. Like, it's always spicy. I think these aren't as good as the last time they had spicy chicken
nuggets. Yeah, I agree. And why in the hell did they take the spicy chicken nuggets off the menu to begin with? Like,
I don't know.
They're trying to do a McRib, and it's just, it's bullshit, all right? Wendy's, you need to keep it back, because if you look, it's a limited time offer only for the spicy chicken nuggets at Wendy's, which is BS.
Which is a crime.
It's definitely a crime. What else is a crime is Paris Hilton being on the Carl's Jr. Commercial, and that's number three on the bad list, because you remember the big stink of that when she was sexily eating this – is sexually even a word? I don't even know. Sexually. There we go. Sexually eating a burger on – it was a Super Bowl ad, wasn't it?
I mean, they've had plenty since that are in that same style, but this was like the one that – kicked it off for Carl's Jr.
Yeah, well, I mean, it did what it intended to do, and it was to create buzz. So May 2005, Carl's Jr. introduced its spicy barbecue $6 burger. First off, that's kind of expensive for a burger, but whatever. And it featured Paris.
Have you had it, Chris? Have you had it?
No, I have not.
It's pretty good. Okay,
okay, is it $6 worth good?
Yes, it is $6 worth. I used to live, I could probably have walked to the Carl's Jr., and that was like, you know, we don't have Carl's Jr. here in Ohio. We have like Hardee's, and it's not quite.
Is when you lived in Cali, right?
Yep. And I could, I mean, that was the place that like I would try and get a different thing every time. And yes, their burgers were very good.
I mean, I've had it before. Old Hardee's. You remember Old Hardee's? That was horrible. So when
Old Hardee's was basically Arby's.
Yeah, when Carl's
except not.
Yeah, here. When Carl's Jr. took over Hardee's, they revamped it completely. Which they revamped it for the good, for the better. But the commercial though, it featured Paris Hilton in a provocative swimsuit, soaping up a Bentley automobile and crawling all over it before taking a big bite of the burger and giving her signature phrase, "That's hot." It caused a big deal, and it kind of like, I guess, started like the term slut shaming, and they were. Everybody was just talking bad about her and bad about the commercial. However, Carl's Jr. probably had the last laugh, though, because they did bring her back for a 2014 spoof of the infamous commercial.
Yeah, I mean, they went all in on that.
They really did.
All of their commercials are like girls in bikinis. I was gonna eating.
Yeah, burgers. They've had other – didn't they have one commercial where this like supermodel is like making out with like this nerdy dude? And
then eating a
eating a burger or something. No, like it was something along those lines, and yeah. It was like a Super Bowl commercial.
I'm sure they have, and I know I've seen. It always just kind of feels like the same commercial, same like stylization of all the shots are all the same. Like
they recycle. Yeah, it really is. They recycle the same commercials over and over with just different supermodels. It's always like. There's like a gray backdrop, or like the hair is blowing, and yep. they're holding a perfect burger and taking a little bite out of it. And yeah,
yeah. Commercials suck, but Carl's Jr. slaps.
What does slap though is number two on the list, and that's the good side. Do you remember the Taco Bell free chalupa giveaway at NBA basketball games? Because I do.
I remember chalupa.
Yes. You get around like 97, 98 points and the whole like arena would start chanting. So,
it was a crime whenever people would get 99 points or like they'd have a free throw to hit 100 and there would be an audible, oh,
dude,
because everybody wanted the chalupa.
Dude, I was at a Cavs game and Lucius Harris missed a free throw and people were losing their mind. Because he didn't knock down the free throw. Yep. No, it was Jeff McGinnis. I'm sorry. It was against the Nets, and Lucius Harris was on the opposing team because I remember he ripped the Cavs up that night. And people were booing this poor point guard, Jeff McGinnis, because he didn't knock down a free throw for the 100th point to get the chalupa. And honestly, I mean, you could probably just cheat and be like, hey, the Cavs scored 100 points last night. Because, like, what is the 16-year-old kid at the register going to care? Sure, why not?
So, funny story about that, Chris.
Oh, yeah, do tell, because I'm sure you did something like this.
I'm glad you brought it up. So me and my brother would go to Cavs game. Like, you remember when LeBron first got there? Like, it was still cheap to go get, like, a $10 seat.
Oh, yeah.
In the upper deck.
Yeah.
So we would go to a couple a year, and depending on if I was, you know, going back to Akron or going to Canton, we would go and leave the game, and we come down 18 through Fairlawn and go to that Taco Bell there on the left. I know you know the one.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't matter. Here's the thing. It didn't matter if they had 100 points or not. We were going to that Taco Bell, and we were going to say they scored 100 points, and we were going to get a free chalupa. The thing was, my brother was really into keeping his ticket stub, and the thing was like, oh, we have to keep your ticket stub. It's like an exchange thing. And we just would always talk him out of it and be like, oh, it's my first basketball game. Like, I want to keep my
Seriously?
Ticket.
Seriously? Oh, my gosh. You would do that.
I don't care about the ticket stubs. He cared about the ticket stubs. But we definitely – I remember it wasn't like early on that we did it. It was like maybe towards the end of like being cheap tickets up there. And I remember being like, how are they supposed to know? You know, it was like, you know, people had smartphones and stuff, but I didn't think the Cavs were calling Taco Bells and being, hey, we scored 100. Get ready. Like they didn't care. So, and the Fairlawn one's far enough away to where, you know, people aren't like,
well, people had smartphones back then, but not like they do now. So you could never get away with that now because you know they would probably check at this point. But
yeah, they'd be like, no, they didn't.
You know what, though? I didn't realize this. The Cavs and the Trailblazers were the only ones that ran that promotion. Like,
oh, really?
Like they, I think it was kind of staggered throughout the NBA for a while, but like the Cavs and the Trailblazers were the only ones that kept that promotion going for as long as it did. Now, I remember the Cavs kind of ending it well before the Trailblazers, but the Blazers, they had that promotion going until about 2013, and then they ended it, and they started a promotion with somebody else. Because I remember one time I went to a Cavs game, and it was like a free large fry from like McDonald's. It wasn't
so.
It wasn't a chalupa, and I was pissed.
Well, we do that at Ohio State for basketball, and it's 60 points and 70 points, basically – fries for 60 and then 70, it rounds it up to a Big Mac. And honestly, most fans want just the fries because not everybody likes a Big Mac. Some people like chicken nuggets, you know, whatever. But, you know, from our sponsor, like they, if they could give that away every single game, they would, because like who's going to go to McDonald's and just get the fry and that's it?
Exactly. Well, I think Arby's does something too because, you know, I think it might, maybe the Cavs do Arby's now. Because I can remember always the Jumbotron going, roast beef. And then, like, if they scored a certain amount of points, you get a free roast beef sandwich, that sort of thing. But
what, in, like, the Homer Simpson voice or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, basically.
You know who the Cavs should partner with on a free item afterwards?
Who?
Mr. Hero.
Oh, my God. Mr. Hero.
A free Roman burger if they score 100 points. I would be there every
Not time. All our listeners probably know what Mr. Hero is, but Mr. Hero is a regional franchise in the Ohio area, Northeast Ohio area.
And they make like really bad like Philly cheesesteaks and like
subs that are toasted.
Subs.
Like, they're basically Quiznos, but like a lesser version of Quiznos. I don't even know how you can be lesser than Quiznos, but yeah. Number two, which segues into Quiznos, is the Quiznos subs. Sponge Monkeys. You remember these guys? The Acorn No Subs that we'll play. We're going to play the jingle for you right now.
We love these subs because they are good to us. The Quiznos Subs. They are tasty, they are crunchy, they are warm because they toast them.
I don't know what the hell these things are, Caleb. Do you know what they are? If you don't remember what they look like, they look like hamsters.
No, I looked it up.
Weird teeth and eyes and hats, sombrero.
Dude,
hats?
They look like the chupacabra. Like they look like some weird computer generated bat things. Like that, I had to look it up before we recorded, and I remembered it immediately. And I think this was like unveiled at a Super Bowl commercial, wasn't it? Also,
yeah, it was horrible. And I think yes, that's probably why Quiznos is no longer really around.
Well, that's the thing with, like, some of these, like, there was no Quiznos near us. Like, at Akron, like, I don't remember a Quiznos anywhere around
There's
us.
Still one kicking in Amherst, but that's all. I mean, I drove past it the other day, and I was like, why is there a Quiznos still here? I didn't even know it was still here. I mean, they popped up for a while, like, everywhere, and then they just, disappeared.
Well, it's not as hard to find as a Blimpie, but still hard Blimpies. To find. I remember Blimpie. Like, we used to have – there was one in Canton, and we didn't go often, but I remember it.
We always went if you got perfect attendance.
Oh.
But
– did you ever get that?
Heck, yeah, man. I had perfect attendance every year until freshman year of high school.
Oh, I was going to say, you strike me as the dude that's like, I haven't missed a day of school since seventh grade.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't miss any days of school until my grandpa passed away, and then that's why I had to miss. But, yeah, I mean, Blimpie was – that was better than Subway by far. But that's another story for another time. Quiznos, though, I don't know, man. Were you ever prompted to go to Quiznos because of this commercial? Like you said, there wasn't really any by you. I mean, I can't ever – in college, I don't remember ever seeing any Quiznos. You just don't see Quiznos that much anymore. Like –
No, and I think what they're going for here is like that. Like, I never noticed Subaru cars on the road until like my girlfriend has a Subaru. So like now I see Subarus all the time. So I think that was maybe what they were going for, just that recognition of like, hey, that still exists and there is one there. But no, it would not prompt me to go.
Well, I think the other big thing that Quiznos, kind of had in the beginning was. Their whole big thing was, hey, we toast our subs. We don't sell them cold. Yeah. And at the time, Subway only did them cold. And then Subway was like, there's a market for this. So they started toasting their subs. And then they just basically killed Quiznos. Because Quiznos could only do one thing. And Subway could do both.
Didn't Subway basically like create the air fryer? Isn't that basically what they use?
That's pretty much – yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what they do. Like, they don't – yeah, I mean, it's
– I think people that have – air fryers are getting like hoodwinked, like bamboozled. Like, I don't think it's just like a convection oven that's like quicker.
I have a air fryer. What do you
think? What do you think about it?
It's the most handy thing ever, except ours is huge. It's not like one of those little circular air fryers. It looks like a little conventional oven, and it is by far the most convenient thing ever. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't like microwave frozen food, so you could stick it in that air fryer for just as much time, and it tastes much better. Didn't mean to cut you off.
I just imagine you be like waking up at 3 a.m. and sleepwalking and eating cheese and like air frying a grilled cheese. Like, that's what I see you using it for.
God damn, that's not a bad idea.
I know. Well, I know about your stories with sleepwalking and eating like handfuls of mozzarella cheese. So,
dude, seriously, 3 a.m. I'm not joking you. There's been times where my wife has caught me eating grated cheese out of the bag at 3 a.m. and going, what are you doing? And I'm like, just.
And you spill it in front of the fridge.
Oh, yeah. And my dog loves it because the next morning he picks up all the crumbs that fell. I am a heathen. Yes. All right. Number one on the good list. Now, I'm sure, Caleb, you have a gripe here. I felt like this was probably one of the better marketing campaign promotions that any fast food restaurant has ever done, because it's stood the test of time and it's still around. And every kid and every adult knows this person or mascot, and that's Ronald McDonald from McDonald's and his friends, mostly Ronald McDonald. Think about it, man. There's been cartoon shows, video games, movies, comic books. He's an icon. I mean, you could argue that he's probably as popular as Mickey Mouse. I mean,
it's one of the smartest marketing campaigns for anything, really. Like, you think about if you're going after a family and you want to like get them to eat a certain way, who do you go after? You go after the kids.
Exactly.
Because the kids have their hands in their mom's and dad's pockets. And also, you're building brand affinity at a young age where, like, my girlfriend, again, like, she never ate fast food because those places weren't around where she lived in New Jersey. And, like, now she doesn't eat fast food ever because she just never ate it as a kid. Where, like, if you get them eating it early, they don't feel as weird about it eating it as adults.
And then there's us who created a podcast over freaking fast food because, well, our parents took us to get fast food because they were lazy and didn't want to cook. But, but
and it tastes good.
And it tastes good, yeah. But, I mean, honestly, though, that, you're right. Like, it's – I hate to equate it to, like, smoking, but I guess Super Size Me kind of does that where, you know – back in like the 50s and 60s, they made what? Candy cigarettes, candy cigars, and it was building yep. brand affinity with that sort of thing. It's the same thing. I mean, McDonald's is doing the same thing. They're building a, they're building new customers.
It was constantly. So, like, they were trying to get kids so indoctrinated with it that, like when I was a kid at Walker Elementary School in Canton, Ohio, like we had an assembly one time where Ronald McDonald came, and I don't remember what he talked about, but
you remember him coming.
Like, oh, Ronald McDonald. Yeah. Yeah. And it was like a bad makeup version. Didn't really look like the commercial, but you know, it, as a kid, you don't really
heck
care.
Heck yeah, man. But, and you would go to like the playlands that they would have. Yep. And there's a little Ronald McDonald statue sitting on a bench, and all the kids would be like, oh, I want to sit next to Ronald McDonald and all that. I mean, at least I used to want to do that with, when I would go there, you know, like you associated those characters and his friends with McDonald's and, you know, the Hamburglar and all those guys.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
I actually wasn't allowed to go into the play place, which hindsight, I'm glad. I mean, I probably went in there a couple times, but hindsight, I'm glad because I wouldn't want my kids in there either. But like all the germs, my mom was like, no, you're going to get like every sickness ever if you go in
well,
there.
Well, I don't even think you really see him too much anymore. Think about
no,
it.
No, they, I mean, most of them, they have a place. Like, if they had the outdoor ones, they're gone. If they had the indoor one, they just, like, expand the restaurant. Or whenever they, like, you know, renovated the restaurant, they took them out.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not a thing anymore. I mean, I can't even remember the last time I saw one. Honestly, I think maybe there's one in Amherst that's still like that, or maybe there's one in Elyria. Obviously, we're throwing out towns in Northeast Ohio, but,
You know, the one thing I remember about the play place when I was allowed to go in there ever, which was very not a lot, was that I don't know if it was just me or I'm just a really good conduit for static electricity. But if you would slide down that slide,
heck yeah,
you get so much static, and they had those like bolts on it, and it would shock you every time you'd go down the slide.
It would freaking hurt, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you would always, like, stub your toe on the steps going up because you'd be excited and you wanted to run up there, and then it would hurt. And then some yep. kid would potentially steal your shoes in the shoe cubby. Yeah, it was good times, but, yeah, I remember that. You ever have your birthday party at McDonald's? I did.
I did. I did, or at least I went to one. I can't remember, but I remember that, like, they'd have, like, pin the tail on Grimace, yes. and it was, like, a big thing.
And you would get, like, a chocolate cake and like chocolate cake from McDonald's. Yeah. And then you would get ice cream cones and
they'd have like the separate like little section yep. where that would always be the birthday area. But normally it was the area where the people like the old retirees that come and drink coffee every day would drink their coffee.
It's literally like the place. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Number one on the bad items or the bad list for the marketing campaigns, Domino's Pizza's 30-minute delivery guarantee. And this is why it is bad, because one could argue it is good. However, it is bad because beginning in 1973, this is when the promotion or the campaign started, Domino's Pizza offered a guarantee to customers their pizzas would be delivered within 30 minutes of placing an order or they would receive the pizza free. The guarantee was changed to $3 off in 1987. However, in 1992, the company settled a lawsuit brought by a family of an Indiana woman who had been killed by a speeding Domino's delivery driver, paying the family $2.8 million. So the lawsuit, I guess, ended up being dropped or whatever. They probably settled out of court or something like that. But basically, someone lost their life because a guy was going very fast because he didn't want to probably get in trouble for, you know, delivering a pizza that was late. Is basically
this is one that I like. Obviously, we weren't alive for it, but I remember it being like referenced in cartoons or like other like anytime there'd be a pizza, you know, somebody'd order a pizza in a show, they'd be like 20 minutes or it's free, dude. Because like whatever the pizza delivery guy was always that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like, always like, gnarly surf guy, Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, man.
Yep. But no, I can, it's one of those things that starts out harmless and like goes completely south. And that's in 1973. Can you imagine like now if they try to do something like that?
Oh
like,
my God. Have
so many people trying to like speed around and try and make it happen. And I mean, I would do the same thing if I were them. Like, hey, my job depends on if I can get this pizza there in a half hour, and I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, Domino's, you could argue, has had a lot of marketing campaigns. I mean, the most newest one for them is their Domino's Pizza Insurance, which I don't understand. Like, why would you want to buy insurance for your pizza? Like, what's the likelihood, and I guess that's the point, of, like, your pizza
the being... The likelihood of a Domino's pizza being terrible is high.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, did you remember that, too? They tried to say like we've rebranded our look.
Yep.
And they were doing the whole like, we'll buy your pizza back, send a picture of your pizza, no matter what it is. It could be a Lunchable, it could be DiGiorno, it could be a Domino's pizza, we'll buy it back. Like, basically they're saying we suck, we know we suck, send pictures to tell us how much we suck and we'll try to not suck.
They've had so many of those different things. Like, remember when they had the pasta bowls? They might still, I don't know. But ugh, I remember getting those in college, and they were just one of those, it's pre-made, and you roll it through the pizza oven. Like, I hate pizza places that put their wings through the pizza oven.
Yes.
And, like, and they do, like, do them the right way or don't offer them, because otherwise I can just get them frozen and make them in the oven at home.
Now, I'm not going to lie. When their cheesy bread first came out, it slapped. It was so good. And then it just got progressively worse.
Less cheese, drier.
Yeah, and just awful. Like, their cheesy bread when it came out, though, was so good. Their wings, never been a fan of. Their brownie, like, what do they got? Like a brownie?
The chocolate lava
cake or whatever it is? Oh. I'm not a big sweets guy, but that's where it's at. That's probably their best item on their menu, honestly.
You're right, though. They've had so many different rebranding attempts. You know, just changing it to just Domino's. And, like, it's just every time. The last time I had Domino's, I was on some kind of diet or something. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to eat anything bad for, like, 2 months. And this was, like, my breaking of that.
Domino's. And Domino's pizza was what broke you. Wow.
I don't ask me why. I don't like whatever reason was. I was like hanging out with a buddy and that happened and it was like, "Oh, it's $5." And I was like, "Okay." And I was so hungry for something terrible and I was like, "Dude, I don't even want to finish this. It's so bad."
Well,
and I've never like you would never have that
yeah.
ever with anything else.
It's funny you mention that because I honestly don't eat Domino's and I think the reason why is every time when I used to eat Domino's, I would always get sick. Like, my stomach would hurt. I just would not feel good. Wanted to, like, basically, like, throw up. Like, just
yeah.
It wasn't a fan. But, yeah, I mean.
I used to, dude, and I love pizza.
Same.
Like, ask my dad as a kid. There was this place called Italo's. And one time I remember my dad being like, if you eat any more of that, you're going to get sick. And I was like, no, it just tastes so good. And guess what? That night I got sick. And, like, I remember a birthday party where we'd get a sheet pizza and I'd be like seeing how many pieces I can eat of it. And like, I mean, I'm obviously a big dude, but like, I love pizza. And if your pizza's bad and I'm not eating it, like your pizza's bad.
So Domino's is that bad. Cause you're not
gonna dude. Eat. I love Little Caesars and Domino's is bad.
Dude, Little Caesars is trash. I know.
I would rather eat Speedway pizza.
Dude, Speedway pizza is not that bad. Actually.
Well, you know what? You just said Little Caesars was bad. It's like the same thing.
Okay. Whatever. We're foreshadowing for our next episode next week, but yeah, I mean, and Domino's has had a lot of promotions. Like I said, you know, they've had the pizza insurance, they've had that picture pizza thing. They even did the 555 deal, like you mentioned, where you know you could buy three pizzas for $15, 555. You remember that whole deal? That was like, yeah. I want to say like in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like when I would eat it because like high schoolers, obviously you don't have much money, $5 for a pizza, your own pizza. Heck yeah. So me and my buddies, we'd call Domino's up and get the 555 deal. And we thought we were kings until we're basically wanting to keel over and throw up everywhere.
Did you guys have Pizza Pan?
Pizza Pan. It sounds from yeah. Pizza Pan. I remember Pizza Pan.
I don't know if they'll.
It's a regional chain too.
Yeah, it won't pop up on our pizza episode probably. But there used to be a thing where if you got it delivered, you got one pizza free. And if you came to pick it up, you got two pizzas free. So already that business model sounds pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
But also, if you had it delivered to like a school or a nonprofit, you would get the two pizzas free. So I remember there was this kid.
So they never made money, and that's probably why they're not around anymore.
Exactly. But there was this kid in my driver's ed class who would like order it. You know, we're in high school. I was probably, I guess probably 10th grade or whatever. Didn't have any, I wasn't working, didn't have much money, but he would like order the pizza because he had a job, and he would charge people like by the slice during driver's ed.
Really?
Yeah. And he would like, I don't know, it was once a week deal. He'd probably make like 20 some bucks or 30 bucks.
Dang,
you know,
man. That's not a bad little side hustle there.
He was hustling.
All right. Honorable mention. We've talked about the Domino's Pizza Insurance, but I threw on IHOP to IHOP. So this was like, what, last year maybe? IHOP, they made like...
Maybe 2 years ago now? I feel like COVID this year doesn't count. So maybe it was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
now.
COVID's kind of like elongated like how years feel now. But IHOP though, they did like a social media thing where they're like, we're changing something that's never been changed tomorrow. And it was we're going to be the international house of burgers.
Burgers.
Y'all ain't even the international house of pancakes anymore, let alone burgers. So like,
their pancakes, as far as like diner pancakes go, are trash. Like Denny's pancakes are so much better.
Dude, I remember going to IHOP like when they weren't up in the north. They were just, you know, like a southern thing, because I think IHOP originated in Florida. And IHOP was like not bad. And maybe it was just because IHOP wasn't around our area, but I just remember there being like nothing but pancakes on the menu. And nothing that was it.
Like 9 kinds of syrup on the table that you don't want. But like, I remember, you know about this, but when I lived in California, there's this restaurant called Norm's that's like a regional
Norm's
like diner. Except it's like they haven't like sold out. They're still like kind of legit.
Yeah, it's like what Denny's is going for, but Denny's has never gotten to that.
But for
point.
Real.
Yeah.
And it kind of inside, it kind of looks like the beginning and ending scenes of Pulp Fiction, yep. Like the diner that they're at. Yeah. It looks just like that. But like that place, I remember I would go there all the time with my buddy Vince, and we would like food explore because we didn't have a lot of friends in Southern California. We knew nobody. But we would go do that, and I'd be like, dude, let's go to Norm's. He'd be like, no, let's go to IHOP. And I would go with him, and I'd be like, dude, I'm not going to order anything because there's like 2 things on this menu I want.
Yeah, there's honestly nothing there. And then like we'd go there for lunch like as a family, and I'd be like, man, I guess a cheeseburger. Like,
yeah, I get. And it's like I'd rather, I don't know, literally eat anything else.
And they don't even have that many like pancakes anymore. Like they do have pancakes on there, but they don't have pancakes on there. Not like it used to be. I mean, I remember going there as a kid and like you could get chocolate chip pancakes. You could get pancakes with sprinkles on it. You know, they don't even have like stuff like that anymore. And I don't know, maybe I don't like IHOP too much anymore. I used to work for a radio station. Every Friday we would get IHOP catered to us on Fridays. So like it kind of just got old. And I know I'm complaining, free food, and I got sick of it. But, like, it really is kind of how
it does get pretty.
It did get old, and it just wasn't good.
It's not.
So the next marketing campaign that I put on here was the Taco Bell dog. So who could forget the Yo Quiero Taco Bell dog? Do you remember the commercials, the little chihuahua?
Oh, yeah.
And he would just say, I want Taco Bell, but in Spanish. I mean, I remember the Godzilla one where he's like, here, lizard. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best thing, is that they cross-promoted it in other things. And you're right. It, like the Godzilla 1999 with Matthew Broderick. Like that they had him in the Taco Bell.
You're legit the only person that likes that movie, by the way, but still.
Oh, I don't love it for being a Godzilla movie. I like it for being a movie. But anyway – they had the Godzilla toys, and you know they used to sell the Taco Bell dog toys,
heck
like the
yeah.
plush dolls, and I think he was like on the cups.
He was on the cups, yeah. He even had didn't they even have like a movie? It was like loosely based off of the Taco Bell dog.
Oh,
it was like Chihuahua and Beverly Hills or whatever. Yeah,
maybe I think he made a guest appearance in Legally Blonde.
That's not true.
It could be the same dog. How can you be sure?
I know the dog died, so RIP Taco Bell Chihuahua. Well,
yeah, dude, that was like 1999.
Yeah, so it started in 97, and I think they ended the campaign in like 2000, 2001, which okay. It doesn't seem like it. That seems like they kind of cut it quick. I mean, I guess 97 to 2000.
It felt longer.
Yeah, I mean.
But as a kid, everything kind of feels like it was longer, like days felt longer. But it's all in your own reference and how long you've lived, so like time reference is different. I don't want to get you
too. I mean, honestly, that's the only Taco Bell commercial I can remember. I can't remember any other Taco Bell commercials that stick out. So.
Yeah, I guess a lot of them are just saying what they have.
Yeah, like, or it's like some dude who's like borderline hipster that wants to eat some sort of like new menu item, or he's walking down a street and he's eating a new menu item and someone wants to steal it or something like that. All right. Last but not least, I know we kind of teased it, but the Arby's 5 for $5.95. Dude.
Literally for $5.95, you could get like, I mean, I guess we can tell a little bit about, there was like 9 different items. You could get like a beef and cheddar. You could get mozzarella sticks, you could get a turnover, a drink, a Jamocha shake, a curly fry, you said potato cakes already, but pretty much most of the things that are cheaper on their menu, you get 5 of them for $5.95. And like, unlike Wendy's where you have to get a drink and a fry, you could just get whatever you want. So yeah. Like mozzarella sticks, I think they were like 3 if you pick them.
Were the poppers on there too?
I think so, yes.
Their poppers are underrated.
Those poppers are nice. But the mozzarella sticks, those things are like $4 for 4 now.
Yeah.
You used to be able to get 15 of them for $5.95. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's why you got to hit them up during happy hour, 2 to 5, man. Trust me, I know. I tend to frequent the local Arby's down the street from me.
I was going to say, not all of us have a warm-up for our dinner, but...
I did that one time and one time only. And now my wife knows because she listens to the podcast.
No, but my go-to was always like a beef and cheddar, 2 mozzarella sticks, a Jamocha shake, and a potato cake. And I just really like the potato cakes. I'm not a big curly fry guy. I know that's like sacrilege for somebody to say, but dude, that was so good.
Well, and Arby's is kind of expensive. And so like this was a reasonable option. Like, and it's
Arby's has never been the place that you can like go get like an a la carte, like a Taco Bell or like a dollar menu situation. They never really had that other than something like this. So this was like, oh, I can get some multiple items that I want instead of like just buying a meal.
Yeah, and I remember doing this a lot in high school. Like, just, I'm gonna hit up Arby's 5 for $5
every Friday after school.
Yep. Like, it was. I mean, I went to Arby's before that, dude. Their cold Italian subs were amazing. And then they discontinued them, and then they brought them back, and they're not the same. And so I stopped going to Arby's. I was like, I was boycotting it. And then they came out with this, and then it kind of changed me, and then they got rid of it. And so now I don't really go there. And then I discovered the happy hour. So now I kind of do go back there. But this honestly is probably one of the better promotion marketing campaigns that any fast food restaurant has done, like in the same semblance of Wendy's. But I still think Wendy's is superior just because right now,
you know,
it's going
sure
on.
Most people will probably agree with you. Like the people that aren't super knowledgeable about fast food might agree with you. I think you're going to get your audience to believe that, but no,
yeah,
Arby's 5 for $5.95.
So you're saying
those who really remember.
So you're saying this should have been on the list and not honorable mention. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't really think about it till just now, but like, that's one of the food promos that I'll tell my grandkids someday. Well, back in my day, Arby's had a 5 for $5.95, and they're like, Grandpa, $5 can't even get you, you know, like,
you're really going to.
Yes.
When I was your age, Frankfurters cost
a nickel. They only cost a nickel.
All right. Well, that's the Side of Fries podcast here. If you disagree or you agree, let us know. I know we're probably forgetting some sort of marketing campaign or promotion, but those are the best ones that I could think of. Those are the best ones that I know Caleb could think of. And You know?
Yeah, but let us know. Let us know if we were right or wrong, and let us know which is better, the Wendy's or the Garby's deal.
Yeah, and so while you're at it, subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Like I said, Kayla's buying nacho fries for everyone who does that. So, you know, do that and follow us on Twitter and follow us on the gram. And where can we follow them? Where can people follow us on the gram and on Twitter?
@SideOfFriesPod.
Nice. All right. Until next time. See ya.
Peace.